Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
What's happening, hot stuff?
Well, hello, handsome.
We haven't kissed like that since 1980.
You have beautiful eyes.
I'd like to kiss you, but I just washed my hair.
I'm Jim Burns. Let's take a minute and try to remember how you felt on the day of your wedding. You were probably excited, maybe a little scared, most likely nervous, and happy all at the same time. I know that both Kathy and I had those same feelings. If you're like us, you're probably looking forward with great anticipation to spending the rest of your life with the one you consider to be your best friend, your soulmate. Well, unfortunately for many couples, through the years, those feelings fade. Time, busyness, and conflict often rob us of the connection we once experienced. Well, my guest today on Homeward is one of America's leading marriage experts. He's confident that he can help you regain that lost connection. So stay tuned.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. Today on the program, interesting conversation because oftentimes when you hear affection and marriage, you think, okay, well, we're going to talk about intimacy. But is there more to affection and marriage than just physical intimacy? The answer is absolutely yes. And joining us on the program today, Dr. Randy Carlson, will be talking about what he's written about in his book called Starved for Affection, just the simple act of holding hands or giving a hug or a kiss on the cheek, and how vital that is to helping a husband and a wife grow stronger and closer together in connection and community. I want to thank you for your prayers and financial support that keep this program on the air. Our broadcast outreach is completely listener-supported through contributions to Homeward.com.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today we're talking about the importance of affection in your marriage. And we are honored to have a guest, Dr. Randy Carlson, CEO of Family Life Communications. You've heard him on a wonderful program called On Call with Dr. Randy Carlson. It's on over 100 radio stations around America. And he's written a great book called Starve for Affection. Randy, great to have you with us today.
Hey, thanks, Jim. Nice to be with you.
I am honored that you are with us. You know, as we were talking before the program, there was a season when I periodically would come on your program and I'd say, my goodness, he is so brilliant when these people would call in. And here I am now getting the chance to have you all to myself for a half an hour.
Well, I know how to fool them. I know how to fool them, Jim. So.
Well, yeah, this is a fascinating subject, this idea of affection. As I got into your book, Starved for Affection, I started realizing, my goodness, this is a key to building marriages, but also in terms of helping families. And, you know, I think many people equate love with affection, but you say that love and affection are expressed differently in marriage. How so?
Well, our English language is kind of short when it comes to interpreting what love means. You know, I love my dog. I love pizza. I love my Arizona Wildcats. And, you know, I love my wife. And the reality is, if my wife doesn't feel my love, if I'm not moving her that she feels love for me, then I've failed. And that comes through the form of affection. And we've got a lot of people listening today, Jim, who are feeling frustrated. They got sexual issues in their marriage. They have wandering thoughts, you know, thinking, well, how come my spouse can't be like that guy? There's an emotional numbness in the relationship or loneliness or anger. And I believe that with the right touch of affection, it can make a huge difference in the relationship. Jim, we've got the phenomena of the Desperate Housewife television program. Mm-hmm. And what we've got is a bunch of desperate housewives and desperate husbands who are desperately seeking that kind of touch from their spouse, and they need it.
And you're saying that affection is not just touch. There's an emotional side to this as well.
Well, the guys are thinking it's touch, right?
Right.
It's sexual, but the reality, affection to me is anything that we do that moves our spouse to the point that they feel love from us. Hmm. That could be a gentle touch. It could be, you know, I'm helping out in the kitchen. It could be getting behind his or her eyes and seeing life like they see life, spending time together. Whatever it is, here's the question. Do you know your spouse well enough to know how to affect them? Are you affecting your spouse? That's really the key to not being starved for affection in your marriage.
And we're all born with a need for affection. Why is the giving and receiving of affection, which seems, since it's a part of our need, so difficult for so many people?
Well, I think sometimes it's upbringing. I think often it's the differences between men and women. Let's face it, our friend Gary Chapman talked about the five love languages.
Right.
And the reality is, for many guys, you know, we speak of a love or affection in a different language than our spouse does. And I think what happens is we miss each other. And it was pretty easy to express affection when we were dating. You know, we could do this, but after we get married, what often happens, Jim, and you and I both see it in our work with families and couples, is that moving from, you know, I give love or I give affection because I'm getting something back, after we get married, it often goes, I'm only going to give it if I get it back. Mm-hmm. And games start to be played in the relationship.
What do you see as some of those games?
Well, I think that there's the game of sexual. That's a very huge power play. You know, I'm going to withhold sex, or I'm going to withhold love, or I'm going to withhold being kind to you. I talk about three levels of unfaithfulness in marriage. There's unthoughtfulness, which means, you know, I don't put the cap back on the toothpaste, or, you know, I don't replace the toilet roll after I use the last piece of it. Right. That's being unthoughtful. And then there's unlovingness, where a person is just not, you know, they're not kind, they're not being patient in all the biblical commands, and then it can fall into the area of being truly unfaithful. And I think the games happen at all various levels, but if we don't deal with unthoughtfulness, unlovingness, it often becomes unfaithfulness.
Yeah, it really is a key. Now, yet, when we were dating, for most of us, affectionate dating, affectionate early marriage seems to be absolutely the place where affection was not a problem. And then as people get older in their marriage sometimes, or the marriage gets longer, it becomes difficult for some people.
Mm-hmm.
What happens?
It was John Gottman who's done so much research on marriage, and he found in the research that, you know, about the happiest point, there's two happy points in marriage: the day we get married and just before we die. And the reality is, the empty nest is a happy time for couples because the stress is off when we first get married. What comes in the middle? Kids, financial stress, in-laws, reality, just life starts to happen. And I think what happens to us, Jim, after we get married is we put on the shelf all those things that we did when we were dating that truly let our spouse know that we felt affection from them and wanted to give affection to them.
Isn't that interesting? I was talking with somebody the other day. I have a Scotch-Irish background, and they were saying, well, I'm Scotch-Irish, and so I don't really get a lot of affection from my parents. I knew my parents loved me, but I didn't get a lot of affection. And now my wife is saying I'm not giving her the affection she needs.
Right.
He was kind of blaming the fact that he was, you know, Scotch-Irish, and he didn't get it from at home. Do you see this, that if you didn't receive a lot of affection from home, that it's more difficult to give affection to your spouse?
Well, we had a program, my program, the other day where we talked about the differences between husbands and wives and their experiences, and there's a correlation. If you didn't see it, it's hard for you to give it, and it does impact. But here's the point. Love is something that I give to somebody else, and so my job is to get behind the eyes of my spouse, even if I didn't grow up with this, and understand what's important to her. And what's important to Donna, frankly, is that, you know, I'll tell you how I show affection to Donna. When I get up off the chair and I go out and do the dishes without being asked, when I help make the bed without being asked, when the kids were younger, help get them to bed without being asked, I had to turn on to her.
Right.
I mean, that's affection. That's love is action. And I think we've got many people, you know, in Starve for Affection, I talk about why we crave it, how to get it, and why it's so important. And I think many people are starved for affection because it's not the big things that they're missing.
Right.
It's the little things that are being missed.
It really is. It goes back to what you were talking about with Gary Chapman's book, The Five Love Languages. We sometimes have this love language that we think, well, that must be everybody's love language. Mine is affirmation. I find out with Kathy that hers really is more of an action. If I'll vacuum or do what you're doing, well, that's her love language.
Yeah.
And yet I was, you know, writing love notes to her and doing all these affirming things. She said, thank you, I love this. However, I'd actually be more excited if you'd also vacuum.
Absolutely. Acts of service.
Right.
It's more exciting than, you know, making love for many women if that's their love language. And that's the point, I think, of this, Jim. You know, the Bible says that love is patient, right?
Right.
But I believe that affection goes further. Affection is empathetic. Hmm. Where love is kind, the Bible says, I believe affection is tender, showing tenderness. And so affection is taking love to that next level of demonstration. I talk about actually infecting your marriage through affection. And I think like an infection that takes over the body in negative ways, affection can take over the body of a marriage in very positive ways.
You know, it's interesting because you're talking, as you talk about tenderness, reading your book, Starve for Affection, I found that part of what, literally just in the last couple of weeks, I found that as I read this at home, I thought, you know what, this is about attitude, and I need to create an attitude of kind of warmth. And instead of coming home and saying, oh boy, life was really hard at work today, and oh, this is that, or this problem, I just kind of come in and sort of come up next to Kathy and start doing whatever she was doing. And boy, you really helped me realize that I've got to create almost an attitude that is tender, and an attitude that really is a non-sexual affection.
Right. Yeah. I think many times, Jim, us guys, we are sort of the thermostat in the family. And if I come home and have a lousy day at the office and, you know, things didn't go well here, and I come home kind of a stinky attitude, I set the whole tone at home. My wife starts to go down. My kids are getting ornery. Even my dog gives me a funny look. And the reality is we do play off of each other. And let's face it, if you had an opportunity to be around someone who showed affection and love and tenderness and encouragement versus someone who was unaffectionate, unloving, unkind, and discouraging, who do you want to be around? And the reality is we got a lot of people in marriages, Jim, today, who are starved for affection, and it would take so very little. I have a whole chapter I talk about. It's a banquet table. God gave us a banquet table to be able to give and receive affection. We're just ignoring it, and we're picking up the scraps off the floor.
Well, Randy, I want to talk about that banquet table in a moment. We're going to take a break right now. We're talking with Dr. Randy Carlson. The book is called Star for Affection.
And we have it up on our website at homeward.com. If you go to the radio broadcast section, you'll find the listing of all the different programs. You'll see Randy's name is hotkeyed, and it'll take you right to the intentional site that he's got lined up. The website's all hotlinked at homeward.com. I want to remind you, too, as we talk about being starved for affection and how important that is, especially of the importance of affection in marriage, another place where a lot of people feel starved out, and I think a lot of women in particular feel like their marriage is kind of starving on a spiritual level, is just the lack of spiritual intimacy. And rather than direct you to a big book or maybe a weekend seminar, how about our daily online devotional as a place to start? I mean, the devotional is very, very simply and concisely put together. It's a Bible verse and a nugget of encouragement from God's Word, courtesy of Dr. Jim Burns and the staff at Homeward. It doesn't take more than a couple minutes every day to go through this. It's a great starting point for you as a husband and wife to say, hey, let's spend some time together in a little bit of the Word and some prayer. Start your free subscription to our online devotional today at homeward.com.
This is Jim Burns from Homeward with a real-life answer to a real-life question. And the question is, how do I keep my marriage a priority when my spouse and I spend so much time involved in activities with our kids? Well, it's no secret that your kids need you. They need your time, they need your attention, your love, and your support. That's a good thing. However, there's a tendency among parents to put the needs of our children ahead of our relationship with our spouse, and that's where we often unknowingly make a mistake. If you're neglecting your spouse, you're actually doing your kids a disservice, because children who grow up in a child-focused marriage will have a difficult time knowing what a good marriage looks like. Well, the quality of your marriage is huge when it comes to your child's sense of what the marriage is supposed to be. And when you make your relationship with your spouse a priority, you will provide a sense of security for your kids. For a free copy of my tip sheet called Refocusing to Make Your Spouse Feel Special Again, go to homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns from Homeward with Real Life Answers.
In his book, Creating an Intimate Marriage, Dr. Jim Burns outlines some practical principles for rekindling romance with your spouse using affection, warmth, and encouragement. It's easy to get a copy of the soft cover edition of Creating an Intimate Marriage when you visit our online resource center at homeward.com.
I really like it when my husband puts dinner on the table.
My wife loves it when I come home from work and just spend time with the kids.
My wife shows me affection when she compliments me on something I've done right or gives me a hug when I least expect it.
The way my husband shows affection is when he'll grab my hand and like he's going to hold it, and then he brings it to his lips and kisses it.
The importance of affection in your marriage. Today we're talking with Dr. Randy Carlson. He's the CEO of Family Life Communications. You've heard him as the host of On Call with Dr. Randy Carlson, getting lots of phone calls every day. He's there for you. You can also go to their website. We'll have a link to their website on our website today. Today we're talking about Starve for Affection. Randy, right before the break, we were talking about this banquet, if you would, of ways we could be affectionate with our spouse. Help us understand what that banquet is all about.
Well, like any banquet, there's various foods, you know, and sometimes we like and sometimes we don't like. And one of the gifts that we give to our spouse is knowing what kind of food they like, in a sense. And I know with my wife, for instance, she's not huge in gift-giving or flowers. And I do that occasionally because I know she likes those too. But like I said a little bit ago, it's a matter of me getting behind her eyes and knowing that when I pick up the broom or when I go out and work in the, I'll tell you the turn on for her is when I work in the yard without being asked. I think it's sick, frankly, going out digging in the dirt. I mean, my dad, I grew up in a home where the idea of outdoors was going to a Holiday Inn and opening the window. I mean, that was about as much outdoor stuff as I've done. And my wife grew up with a dad who went out and planted flowers and did things. And I thought, man, this is sick. But the reality is when I go out in the yard, Jim, believe it or not, when I go out there and she sees me out there on a Saturday morning working in the yard without being asked, I tell you, that's a turn-on for her. Yeah. Of course, I'm clinking and making a lot of noise because I want all the attention I can possibly get, but that's the reality. Do you know your spouse well enough to affect her? Mm-hmm. The Bible says don't think only of your own interest, but also the interest of another. Right. And when I go out and work in the yard, I'm telling you, I'm not doing it for myself, and I'm not doing it because I think I want to have a terrific yard. I'm doing it because that woman inside likes a nice yard, and I love her, and because I love her, I'm out here doing this work in the dirt because I care for her.
Great, great, great insight. In fact, I think you're making me this next weekend get out into the yard and do that, because that's the same with Kathy. And it's just not what I go to normally.
Yeah, I got the answer for you, Jim. I've developed a back problem. I'm welcome to share it with you. I've told Donna, we just had 13 ton of stone here in Arizona. You know, it's stone. We don't have grass.
Right, sure.
We had 13 ton of stone delivered. And I said, Donna, there's no way. I can't move 13 ton. I mean, my back is bad. So we're going to get the kids out there to do it.
So, so it is contagious. Okay, I'm going to have to, you know, I think it comes over the airways as
well. I can help you out.
Very, very good. You know, you talk about people who are starved for affection in their marriage, and they kind of begin to disappear into themselves or into the arms of another person. Mm. How does a marriage get to that point?
Well, it's like walls that are built. It's one layer at a time. And the day you and I got married, you married your wife, I married mine, we weren't looking at our spouse-to-be and thinking, you know, I can ruin your life in 2 months.
Right.
You know, we're thinking of the high hopes and the expectations. Then there's something that gets unresolved, you know, some little problem doesn't get talked about, some unkind word that's spoken, and there's not a process of forgiveness. It's, each of those are like a brick, and you put brick upon brick upon brick, and pretty soon it becomes a wall that's you can't penetrate. And I think the key here, Jim, maybe for those who are listening to us today are thinking, well, man, how do I know if I'm really starved for affection? Can I give you a little quiz real quickly?
Sure.
Ask yourself these questions. Do you feel close or distant to your spouse? Great question. Do you feel passionate or mechanical in your marriage? Is your behavior toward your spouse spontaneous or routine? And many guys mistake routine for satisfaction. If there's sex and food and kids and the bills are being paid, everything's okay. And they mistake the fact that routine does not equal satisfaction. Are you emotionally full or emotionally empty? Do you feel loved as you were meant to be loved, or is there something missing? Do you feel inspired or expired by your spouse's touch? Wow, there's an area we could explore.
Well, that is.
There's a lot of people after an encounter physically that feel expired and not inspired. Mm-hmm. Do you feel adored or indifferent? Do you feel understood or disregarded when you talk with your spouse? And if you're answering those in the negative, you're starved for affection. If part of them are negative, then you're on your way to being starved for affection, and that's a time to get on a new path.
Rand, let me ask you, I think, an important question. To those questions, one of the questions you said was, are you emotionally full or empty? And I hear a lot of people say, I'm doing the best I can, but my spouse was raised with some deficit. Maybe there was even abuse in their life. And so, you know, they're spiritually and emotionally empty, but it's sort of not my fault. Well, mm-hmm. What do you say to that spouse?
Well, you're still starved for affection.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have to acknowledge it. And we can play all the games in life we want, but at the end of the day, you're still kind of empty. You know, the Bible says in Genesis, it's not good for man to be alone. Mm-hmm. God was the creator of affection. He says in Genesis 2, leave and cleave. To me, cleaving is a pretty close, intimate thing. Of course, 1 Corinthians 7 talks much about the sexual relationship, but the point is, it was God's idea, be clear here, a man and a woman, not two men. Mm-hmm. God intended for a man and woman to be in a relationship for a lifetime, to give and receive love and affection. And so if you're in a relationship where that's not happening, first of all, just acknowledge, you know, I'm disappointed, it's not happening. But at the same time, as a Christian committed to this marriage, I don't give up. I don't give in. And I continue to show love to that person. I said on my radio program yesterday, Jim, you can never give more than you've received mm-hmm. in life. Mm-hmm. And if your spouse didn't receive affection before you connected with him or her, maybe your job in life is to put so much love and affection into that person's life that they actually start to break down the walls and overflow with enough to start giving some back. And I think that's really important concept for us to think about. Remember, your spouse can't give more than they've received.
Mm. That's a great input. You also, in your book, talk about the problem that it must be attacked without attacking the spouse. Right. I think that's a hard one sometimes for some families because they want to attack the spouse. Well, I'm not getting the affection that right. I want or deserve. How do you suggest the spouses do that?
Well, in one chapter in Starved for Affection, I talk about reality respect, and maybe a better term is active respect. Mm. See, we were talking about this even yesterday here in our ministry about unconditional love. We did a program on that, unconditional love. Well, how do you unconditionally love someone who's a jerk? Mm-hmm. You know, how do you do that?
I think that's a question that a lot of our listeners
It's a great question. And what I try to help people see is unconditional love is a commandment for Christians. Can't get off the hook. Sorry, Charlie. You're following Christ. This is the way it is, okay? But that doesn't mean unconditional love does not mean that I, quote, unconditionally accept destructive, self-destructive, or destructive behavior. And when I'm actively respectful, and the Bible says, wives, respect your husband, you can't get off the hook, you got to respect him. But I believe that part of respect says, I respect you so much that I need to hold you accountable for certain behaviors. If you come home and you're abusive, if you come home and you're alcoholic, if you come home with pornography, mm-hmm. that is not acceptable behavior. Mm-hmm. And because I respect you so much, and I respect God and love God so much, and I honor our marriage so much, I'm going to hold you accountable. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a very clear distinction that you can hold someone accountable and still respect them. In fact, I think the more you hold a person accountable, the more respect you're showing.
Very good insight. I want to talk more about this next time, but in closing, talk to our listeners about how an affectionless marriage negatively impacts the kids and what kind of damage is being done there.
Wow. You know, we're sending a generation into the future that we're not going to be there. And the question is, do you want your children to leave your home knowing what it feels like to give and receive affection? Hmm. Yes. The answer is yes. You want that. It's important because your children are going to go out from whatever they've received in your home, and they're going to take that into the future generation. So send your children off, no matter what age, even if you think you've blown it in the past, start now. Give them affection. And there's many practical things that you can do. We write about some of them in Starved for Affection, but you can do it. And it starts with an attitude that says, I love my kids, I want the best for them, and I'm going to start showing affection to them.
Well, Randy, thank you so much for that great insight. I wish we had more time. You'll have to come back next time. Can you come back next
absolutely.
Time?
Absolutely. I'd love to.
Great. We'll talk more about that next time, not only about how to get back the affection in your marriage, but also how you can use affection to either stay connected or reconnect with your kids. And this was a very good reminder for all of us today. Infecting your home with affection will take some planning, and it may feel a bit manufactured at first, but that's okay. Your spouse desperately needs it, and so do your kids, and frankly, so do you. Well, in his book, Starved for Affection, Randy suggests that couples study one another in order to stay connected. It was something I kind of had to read twice through to really understand it. Studying one another requires that each of you take an honest look at what's missing in your marriage. Now, because you really can't change your spouse, only God can do that, this exercise should focus largely on you. Ask yourself, what can I do right now that can make the greatest improvement on my own life as well as in the life of my marriage? Well, then you do it. You just might be amazed at what God will do in your marriage when you choose to focus on yourself rather than on your spouse.
Right. And the key is intentionality. And as a very wise philosopher once said, if everybody seeks to give love rather than to receive love, then everybody will receive love. And it's very, very basic. But oftentimes in the throes of day-to-day struggle in marriage, sometimes we forget that. Good advice from Dr. Jim Burns. Great conversation with Jim and Dr. Randy Carlson on today's program. We'll continue it on the next edition of the Homeward Broadcast, this discussion on the importance of affection in marriage. I want to remind you that Dr. Jim Burns' book, Creating an Intimate Marriage is a great resource, companion piece to go along with what we've been discussing on today's edition of the broadcast. You can order it from homeward.com. When you do, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry. We truly appreciate that. There's also other curriculum that goes along with it. So if you'd like to incorporate this as part of a small group discussion or maybe a home Bible study fellowship, you can get that information as well at homeward.com. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward, where parents get real answers. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.